It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, as not only do we head away from another college and pro football weekend, but we also have a pair of exhibition games for the Hoosier basketball team under their belt, both victories, obviously, as they head out to Hawaii on Friday night for the kickoff game or tip-off game or whatever you want to call it. Starts the season versus Kansas out in Hawaii, preceded by Arizona and Michigan State. So a big, big game right off the bat for the Hoosiers. We'll talk a little bit about their exhibitions here in just a little while, but meanwhile, the Colts went on the road up to Lambeau Field and put 31 up on the Green Bay Packers. 31-26. It includes special teams. It includes offense. It includes defense up until about the last 10 or 12 minutes or so. But just generally, outside of a couple interceptions, about as well as we've seen this Colts team play this year. So surprising result in their 31-26 victory at Green Bay. We'll cover that in a little while as we lead you up to Monday Night Football tonight. But we start with the win that the Hoosier football team needed desperately, and that is up against the lowly Rutgers Knights. They are 2-7 now, 0-6 in the conference. They have scored 73 points in six Big Ten games, a couple pretty good defenses in there too. But not a very good team, and the Hoosiers did what they need to do if they really want to be a bowl team. They beat the bad teams on their schedule. Glass, they went to Rutgers. First victory against Rutgers in three chances. And this game had a lot of stuff going on in it. And perhaps most important for this Hoosier team is that it found a way to win when it really didn't play very well. Because I think I made the comment afterwards, this was one of the ugliest football games I've ever watched. But the Hoosiers came out on the right end, and that's what matters.
Ugly football games aren't as nearly as ugly victories, and that's the good news. Because that's what it was, and Indiana found a way in spite of, geez, I don't know who you can leave out on this one. There was everything that could have gone wrong, almost did. You found yourself down 24-13 at one point to, 20 seconds into the second half. Mm-hmm. And the Hoosiers find a way again to win for the second year in a row. Down decent, two touchdowns, 10 points or more on the road. Remember, they did this at Maryland last year with no Jordan Howard when they had to win to get into a bowl game. I'm not going to say this was the same result because the math doesn't work itself out, but they were down. They were not playing well. And they were at the same time. It wasn't like their defense was getting run over. It wasn't like they were giving up big play after big play after that first drive. The first three plays looked like Indiana's defense had never seen each other before. The pass where Fant has no idea where it is. The pass where Ball has no idea where it is.
Yeah.
It just, well, I mean, I guess those were a couple first drives. But the early start did not give you the signal that this defense was going to absolutely shut down Rutgers for essentially, two and a half quarters?
Yeah.
Every time the Rutgers took advantage, it was after an Indiana turnover or you ran one back or whatever. Well, gee, there were so many things. We could do 2 hours on the turnovers in this game.
Well, the run was a 75-yard fumble recovery.
It was, and then Devontae Williams fumbles the second-half kickoffs. Yep. The boom, they're right in scoring position there. And then the defense, nothing.
Yep.
Rest of the game, lights out, shut down, game over. Rutgers' offense isn't very good, but that doesn't bother me. We've seen a lot of bad offenses score and put up a lot of yards on Indiana's defense over the years, regardless of stature in the way they played. You had a bad kicking game. It didn't cost you.
Awful.
Awful kicking
awful.
Game. Awful. Yeah, you had bad
it made it a game, actually.
You had bad quarterbacking from all three quarterbacks. You had some questionable play on the defense at times, the offensive line at times. But I guess the point you give to Indiana, and this is probably the truest, the defense dug in and won it for you. Mm-hmm. The offense made just enough big plays, and they were all chunk plays. This wasn't 3 yards, 4 yards. This was 30 yards, 28 yards.
It was not
yards.
The methodical running game, go down the field.
It was
it up and let your athletes get it.
It was momentum killers because what it didn't do is it didn't give Rutgers defense a chance after a bit to hold the field goals or field goal attempts that weren't going in. You stuck the ball in the end zone, and you got the lead. You took the lead. And when you needed to make a play late in the game, who else but a fifth-year senior and Ricky Jones, who made about, I don't know, four defensive plays throughout the game, two at wide receiver. He almost blocked a kick with Zeke Walker, and he dives on the fumble at the end. So you want to talk about the entire spectrum being covered. It was covered. Richard Lego had a very good day, minus two throws. Yep. That was it. Yeah, well, he had a couple of other throws we'll talk about. But two bad turnovers, back-to-back passes. Xander Diamont threw a good pass. Xander Diamont had a huge run. Xander Diamont didn't take care of the football. They traded a touchdown. You had everything in this game. Yeah. What do you want? You name it. It happened, and Indiana comes out on top. That's the most impressive part. And the most impressive part, I think, for Indiana's defense was the yards they didn't give up, the stops they got constantly. Yeah. And I think that has to be the focus of today's discussion.
Well, and I say it again. To me, the biggest part is to play that badly at times in every aspect of your team and yet still pull it out. Because, again, focusing on the offense to start, you mentioned it, and I think it's important to point out here, Rutgers isn't anything special on defense, but we had a hard time getting anything regular going on offense. It ended up being, let's chuck it down the field and try to get a big play, and they got quite a few of those big plays.
They did. They made some one-on-one plays where they were better than Rutgers at those positions, and their better players made the plays they needed to play. I can't remember one drop pass, and I can't remember the last time I've been able to sell that from IU off the top of my head. Now, everything wasn't perfect. I got all that. But I just think the way that they lost to Rutgers last year and the way they beat Rutgers this year, that's night and day. That's a whole different enchilada. Last year was, 55 points against when you had a 19, 18, 20-point lead?
55-52 when you were up 25 points.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And that's what it was. But that wasn't the case this year because the last two touchdowns Rutgers scored was a scoop and score from the Diamont fumble 4 minutes or so to go in the second quarter, right? And then
they had a field goal at the very end where they had one drive in the second half, and it was that last drive.
The field goal was 13 seconds. Right. They had a play down to the one, the guy didn't get in the end zone.
Right.
That's fine because at that point you need
everything else, and the only other thing in the second half was after the fumble.
The time on the clock on that last drive was fine because they had to do so many things to go and Indiana had to screw so many things up.
And they had to score twice.
So then that wasn't going to happen. So you kind of, that one gets a pass. That's more of a prevent. Don't let them score quick. Don't let them beat you on one play.
Beat the time.
But again, the defense didn't give up too much after the big ball touchdown. That was about it. And everything else. Let's see. Well, they had the scoop and score. The Devontae Williams kickoff fumble, that's 14.
That was a 68-yard touchdown pass. Yeah. There was a field goal thrown in there, and then there was the fumble recovery touchdown, and then there was the fumble after the kickoff return. Fumble.
That's it. That's a pretty good day at the park on the road in the Big Ten. And I think that's what's important. This was not a home crowd bringing them back to life, dragging them back off the turf. They had to do that themselves. They had to find a way to make big plays. They got big plays from everybody on offense, it seems like. Again, when everybody contributes, this offense is hard to guard. It opens up the playbook. That was exciting to see as well. And it gets you one, and no one's talking about this just yet. No, it gets you one win from being bowl eligible.
Yeah.
Because beating Penn State looks a little bit more difficult than it did a month ago.
Yes, it did.
Beating Michigan and Michigan, I don't think anybody's going to volunteer for that job. And then having Purdue at the end, it's on your field. It's been three in a row. You'd hope you would have some momentum going
into
that game.
Those games turn weird.
They
all know
that. They always do.
And they're playing better.
And Indiana had to win on Saturday. They found a way to do it. So, whew, they did.
Yeah.
And that's the good news. And there was plenty of good performances, plenty of questionable performances, but at least we don't have to dissect any two-point conversions today. That's the good news on all of that.
Nope, Hoosiers get the victory, and we'll break down each side of the ball and the kicking woes, because it's not just kicking, it was receiving them also. And they tried to give it away, but in the end, they managed to take it back, and credit the defense in a big way for that. We'll talk about all that and more in a couple minutes. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU football, they go on the road and win 33-27 against Rutgers, who is struggling at the moment. We'll start with the D, because I think you can knock out the D for IU pretty quickly.
It
played a pretty great game. It's not a great offense they were facing, but it played a great game. Now, you look at the scoreboard and you say 27 points, and you can't get away from that. But the majority of that, it comes from everybody else's screw-ups. And frankly, it should have been a lot more comfortable if the kicking game is doing its job also.
11 points but, left out there.
But defensively, I mean, perhaps. You saw a couple mistakes, and one went for 68 yards early. And that's a mistake by a young defensive back. People are going to take advantage of your young defensive backs from time to time. A little surprised it hasn't happened more, to be honest, but it hasn't because the guy's played great. But he gets turned around, thinks something's happening and gives it up.
But that play kind of signified the day that Indiana had, because when the quarterback threw it, he got demolished.
Yeah, well, he got creamed.
Yeah,
he got crushed.
And Ball said after the game, he was great on the radio. He said, Look, I screwed up. I thought I had the coverage. I thought I had the side correct. I thought I saw it on tape. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm looking in the backfield. All of a sudden, I think he said
he saw the ball was out of the guy's hands.
He didn't know where the ball was after that, and he said he screwed up. And you know what? He's a freshman. He's 17 years of age, and you wouldn't trade him for anybody right now across the league.
He screwed up,
and he was very complimentary of his defensive teammates to help dig him out of the hole, and the rest of them. Mm-hmm. He went on to make 7 solo tackles in the game, 9
Kid's
total.
Been great. I mean, if it gives up a play,
he's a good player, and you saw that on the one play where they tried to block him on the reverse, and he just ate the play up because you tried a wide receiver to block him. It didn't happen. But the defense, Dave, usually during a game, we have a couple of those a quarter to talk about, but we didn't. And that's where Indiana's defense is different this year, because they did stand up in the red zone the second time down. They held him to a field goal, made a good play, had a blitz. Tigre Scales blitz on the first series. I mean, how fast did he shoot that gap and get to the quarterback? They've got guys that can make plays, and what you've seen this year is you haven't seen the Marcelino Ball plays, perhaps, where they're completely out of position. You saw them get beat a couple times against Maryland. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit different than being out of position, I think.
Sure.
If a guy's faster than you and runs a better route and you don't cover it.
There was one or two of them, but to your point, there aren't 8 of them.
They're not. And there's not two guys running into each other or looking at each other saying, you got him, I got him, you got him, I got him.
Right.
That was Ball one-on-one. It happens. Mm-hmm. Guy gets turned around, and Rutgers, they get a practice and try hard too.
And had a week going into this game, by the way.
They had a bye week for all of that. But the drive chart for the rest of the game, again, you see hold to a field goal, they miss it. You see plays that are 3rd and 12, and they stop him 2 or 3 yards short. Kevin Wilson was talking about that. He had 3 or 4 that he remembered right at the top of his head and said, hey, look, we hit a guy, Scales hit a guy, boom, right at the stick. 4th and 1, they got a punt. They can't go for it. Why?
Exactly.
They're Rutgers. They got no confidence. They haven't won all year. They're out of field goal range just barely.
They were 1 of 16 on third down conversions, which to me, it's getting off the field.
Yeah,
and we talked about that in the past. If you can get off the field on that drive, that's all you have to do. You don't have to do it pretty. You don't have to do it lovely. You don't have to blow somebody up on a big – you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is get off the field.
Yep, and Wilson's point was we just held them close enough where they couldn't go for it.
Right.
And we didn't give them a chance to make a momentum play and try to change it. 1 for 16, beautiful. And the second half drive chart, I sent you that photo during right after the game ended. Listen to this, folks. Touchdown on the first drive. Well, why? Because it was a fumble off a kickoff return. They had a short field.
Yep.
Listen to this. 3 plays, 0 yards. 3 plays, 8 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. 3 plays, 2 yards. 3 plays, -6 yards. That's the Indiana Hoosiers defense on the road. I don't care who they're playing. They didn't do that against Florida International. They didn't do that against Ball State at home.
That was 7 straight drives.
That's unbelievable.
6 punts and a fumble.
Unbelievable.
All of them 3 plays and 8 yards or less.
And you know what?
4 of them, 0 or less.
Yeah, which is unheard of.
That's fantastic.
At this level. And the other great news that gets maybe lost in the stat count was when Indiana's turning the ball over left, right, and center on downs, on interceptions, fumble gets run back. There was never Rutgers stretching 2 or 3 or 4 drives together to get momentum and try to knock Indiana out. Lego throws a pick. Boom. Defense, 4 and out? Off the field. Boom. Indiana gets the football right back.
Yep.
The next time Lego touches the ball, it's intercepted again. They hold to a field goal there. Again, put them in a spot where they can't go for it. They can't have that 4th down. Maybe we get some more momentum going because the defense didn't allow it. So I think that's where you take your hat off to it, because, yes, there's been some bend and don't break in this, and there's also been some times where they stand up and get their job done and get out of the park.
Well, they needed it desperately in this game because of the rest of the team that's out there. So, we can't leave that alone. Because if you're looking at the next 3 games, if you're looking at the course of the season, are you getting better? Are you improving? What are your chances to win that 6th game and perhaps more? But let's get to 6 first. Is this team better at this point? I think the defense after the last couple weeks desperately needed a performance where it played like that, and it got it. You know, and so that tells you maybe they're getting a second wind. Who knows? They're going up against a couple pretty good offenses. The next three offenses are pretty good. Purdue, you kind of poo-poo a little bit, but they're not bad. They've got a couple guys that can make plays. But in particular, Michigan and Penn State can move the ball. So we will see, but that's to worry about next week. Offensive side for the Hoosiers right now, production. You look at the numbers here and you take away the turnovers, and they should have absolutely dominated this game.
Walked it in.
27-13 just on first downs, and that was absurdly even more so in their favor until late in the game when Rutgers went, you know, moved the ball a little bit up and down the field. 147 rushing yards, you'd like more than that, but it was never going to be 414. What you don't like is you don't like the fact that there were turnovers. Richard Lego made a couple bad passes. I consider one of them to be a coaching thing. You come out of the quarter break, you have to take a timeout before you even run a play, and then you get him in a play where you're asking him to throw a quick slant, and it's because you think you're getting a coverage, and that coverage isn't what you get, and the guy drops right in front of you. Now, the later one, he makes a bad throw, the next one on top of that. So two of those are on the throwing game. Again, I think one's on Richard, one's on the play call. But then your bacon package, whatever the heck you want to call that thing, with Nitti and Diamant. Last week, it was enormous. Nobody had ever seen it, and it was productive as hell. This week, it gives you a 59-yard touchdown.
Boom.
It also gives you two fumbles, including one of which went the other direction for a touchdown, and the second of which resulted in, I don't think Tyler Nate went back in the game after that second fumble. It didn't cost him at that moment. Obviously, the Diamant one went back for a touchdown to even it all out. But that package now, you went from, oh my gosh, we got this cool thing that we can pull out and run it down people's throat, to Tyler Nate had 9 carries for 18 yards. Xander Diamant had negative yards if you take out his 59-yard touchdown run.
But he still had the 59-yard touchdown.
But he still had the 59-yard touchdown run. Yeah. He also had the fumble recovery that went the other direction also to even that out. So that package, what is that going forward? Is that productive, or is that a one-time thing? I imagine you've got to leave it in there. But we don't know what it is right now. It was huge 1 week. It was nearly a disaster the next week.
And I think there's just a couple things with it. I don't think the package in theory is bad. I think the ball security, I think the decision-making has to go with that as well, because you know, Diamant had a couple runs there where he tried to stretch plays and create something out of nothing. You just got to go down and take it. You're 150 pounds.
On his fumble, he's got two people on his legs. Yep. He's trying to move.
I think the play before that, he tried to get it outside. He cut it back up and saved a two-yard loss, got it back to the line of scrimmage. So he was feeling pretty confident. Obviously, he had the big gainer. He had, you know, had a nice pass in there as well, to a quick pop pass to tight end, and he had a good pass to Page that was decent. So, you know, Lego didn't make a couple good decisions either, but when you've got three quarterbacks and all of them, then you have five turnovers between them. Five mistakes between them minimum.
Yeah.
That usually don't win football games there. But the good news was that's where the defense came up and bailed Lego out. Of two turnovers, they get 0 points because they missed that field goal attempt.
Right.
The field goal attempt was wide left to the kicker's left or the TV behind left. And again, two interceptions, 0 points. That hasn't usually been the case with Indiana over the years. That is different and good. Yes, and Rutgers' offense isn't the offense that's going to blow you up. But back to that package, I think Rutgers, after 400 yards, Ash said after the game, he goes, look, we're going to take the runaway.
We saw what they did last week, of course.
And Penn State put almost 400 yards on him running, too. So they'd seen this. Or not Penn State, rather. Michigan, how many they put on them? Ohio State, how many they put on them? Right. Yeah. So they've been used to this. So they had to take away something. And I don't think that theory was wrong, because we've often said, and if you watch the Northwestern game, well, make Richard Lego beat you. And Richard Lego was much better in this game than he was at Northwestern.
Yeah.
You saw crisp throws. You saw balls not being dropped, held onto. You saw pretty decent protection.
28 to 40 is
well, two
very
of those
efficient.
It's 28 to 38, take the two picks out.
Yeah.
He had a couple bad balls that were broken up well by his wide receivers, but the balls he had to Nick Westbrook were only where Nick Westbrook could catch it. The ball he had to Kameon Patrick was where only Kameon Patrick could catch it. Now, he had a touchdown probably where – who had to come back and get one? I think that was Westbrook. He had to wait for one on a go route. But he still – it wasn't perfect, but it was a big play that was made. And then Jones helps him out, not going down, stays up and runs through that. But that ball was singed in there across the middle. He waited for it to develop, and – you saw the rocket pop arm that he's got that can go in there. So when it was put on his shoulders and that package wasn't working, and the running game in general, besides Redding's big, 34-yarder, these were always a big play game.
Yeah,
everybody Indiana had was a big play game.
This does not take in all of the big plays, but it does take in the long – they always list in the box score the long play for any individual.
And bigger.
Devine Redding, 34-yard long run. Xander Diamont, 59-yard long run. These are all long passes here. Mitchell Page, 42. Nick Westbrook, 41. Ricky Jones, 36. Donovan Hale, 32. Kameon Patrick, 40. I mean, that's seven
chunks.
Big plays. I mean, 30-plus plays right there. So it was. I mean, it wasn't about methodical.
And five of those were touchdowns.
It was about big plays. It was about chucking it down and letting your athletes get it. And we were joking about this also. How often has Indiana football out-athleted a Big Ten team to win a game that it maybe was trying to give away? It dominated. I mean, it dominated on both sides of the ball in one fashion or another. It just couldn't get out of its own way at times to make the final blows to knock them out.
It was. And, again, when you get off to a start, your first drive is, boom, a 60-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, that's exactly what you want out of that package. If you don't get anything from it all day, you've got that in the back of their mind all day.
Right, they have to guard that.
They have to guard it, and they're not sure who the quarterback is or who it's going to be. And cleaning that package up, I think that's going to be natural. Number one, they knew to expect defensively, which when you take some of the surprise out, things change.
Yeah.
And when you run it as many times as you run it, or ran it in that game, the more you've looked at it, the more you see it, the more you react to it, it gets a little bit easier for the defense. But Richard Lego did his job, or that package might have been running even more.
Yep.
And again, when you have that three-headed attack and you're not sure down in distance what you're going to get, where you're going to get it, heck, Rutgers called timeout in the second quarter, first quarter, and then he hit Jones on that slant where he didn't go down. So they were, they were setting up to, I think it was a 3rd-and-11 play, and you get a touchdown out of it. That's huge.
Here's my
that's
problem.
An execution.
Here's my problem with the offense right now, because I'm trying to look forward with this, and that is I don't know if it's improving or not. This was not a very good defense they played. They've got some players up front. They've got some nice athletes. They have for a while, because, they've had a recruiting base for a while. It's not a great defense. But the question is it getting better? Is it not getting better? Because this is, again—
I think it's evolving. Can that be an answer?
Well, I don't know, though, because— I don't have a problem with Richard Lego as a starting quarterback like I think some people do, because I think he makes 80% of the plays you want him to make.
Sure.
And he throws a couple bad balls. He does all that kind of stuff. Nate Sudfeld had a problem for 3 years of throwing pick sixes. I mean, so it happens, and especially when you're going to chuck it all over the place. But you had this package that had so much going for it, and all of a sudden it's costing you, and then you've got mistakes all over the place that are costing you at various times. You got all these turnovers all of a sudden. You couldn't get anything methodical going with your offensive line back to some degree in place with your best player out there.
Playing tackle.
Yeah, well, back and forth. I mean, he switched back and forth a little bit, so they were shuffling around there.
There's a reason why.
Of course. I mean, they don't trust the other two guys fully yet, and I don't know that Jacob Bailey's a full-time player. I mean, Coach Wilson said that. I just don't know at this moment, looking at the next three games, is it where it wants to be going into the last quarter of the season, or is it still needing to get there? And I think the answer is I don't think it's done. I don't think it's ready yet. I think it's evolving is a good enough word, I guess.
Well, I think the point is
it's not set up to me to be greatly successful in the last three games right now. I don't have faith in it yet.
The good news is we've looked at it all year long and have never said anything differently. We hoped it would get better as time went on. It took the Northwestern game to re-juxtaposition the offense entirely to make something work against Maryland, and you crank out 600 yards. Great.
It was great in that game.
It was.
Again, two bad defenses the last 2 weeks. They've scored a bunch of points. That's part of the question. Is it bad defenses?
Points, yards, everything. 567 yards, so they're at almost 1,200 yards the last two games.
They should have dominated this game.
Yeah.
Based on their offensive performance.
Or
at least production.
Right. And you would have hoped that, again, dropping balls, throwing balls, running balls, all that stuff. Dan Feeney's coming back. That evolves the offensive line. I don't think there's any question about that. Right. Wilson has brought that out multiple times. You have multiple attacking players being involved. It's just not look at Jones, look at Page, that's it. Maybe throw it to Westbrook every once in a while. The more options this has, the more places you have to guard, which should open up the field and open up the lanes.
And they did get back the deep throwback.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing. They've only gotten the deep throw back because their quarterback has allowed them to call that and, mm-hmm. and rely on that because he's making better throws. Should he be getting better in the last few weeks of the season? I think he should.
He should.
What are the defenses he's going to play in Penn State and Michigan going to be a lot better? Yeah, but he's already seen Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
He's already seen a pretty good Nebraska, at least at the time when we saw him. Michigan State wasn't terrible and all that. Northwestern
those
probably
good defenses.
Northwestern probably doesn't get as much credit as they need.
They're all good defenses.
So he is going.
The last two aren't. The ones before that are.
He's climbing up the ladder, and you can't ask your quarterback in his first year, I don't believe, to be perfect. I don't think you can ask JT Barrett to be perfect. He didn't look very good against us, did he?
No, but I think you pointed out the key here, and that is the next two games are pretty good football teams.
They are.
Maryland and Rutgers are pretty mediocre at best.
They
the
are.
The next two are the tough ones. Purdue, who knows? We can deal with Purdue later. I mean, we should – theoretically, we should beat them, but, you know, that's for another day.
I think Penn State has some injury problems. They, from reading what I read about them over the weekend, they lost another offensive lineman. That's two or three. Mahay, I can't remember. I can't – whatever it was, Franklin was talking about him in his postgame. They weren't real happy that he limped off.
Yeah.
Had to put in a guy that played a little bit earlier in the year, wasn't playing now because – well, he just wasn't good enough to get in the lineup right now, so they've got an issue. But they're running 400 yards on everybody.
They're crushing it.
They are. But, again, when you don't have that congruent line play, when you have substitutions in and out, it's funny when you go on the road at Indiana, they haven't been very good here the last two times they've visited.
That's right.
And you can itch it and scratch it any way you want and say, well, those guys aren't here anymore. It's not Hackenberg anymore. You're right. It's not. It's different. And they've also gotten fat and sassy beating Ohio State at home.
Yeah.
They've also gotten fat and sassy beating the doors
the crap out of Iowa.
Off Iowa.
Well, I think that tells you what you know, but want to know about fat and sassy. If they went and beat the doors off of Iowa like
6-0 at home, 1-2 on the road.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the math. Now, yeah. does it mean Indiana can't beat them? No, because who hasn't Indiana competed with this year?
Right.
That hasn't been a problem. Perfect has been a problem. Playing 60 minutes of perfect has been a problem.
Yeah.
Having everybody, all three phases, fire in the same game has been a problem.
But they're not outclassed like Rutgers was against Ohio State and Michigan.
Hey, JT Barrett, what were his numbers against Indiana?
It wasn't very good.
There
9-21, I think.
Yeah, and he ran for a career high in yards because their offense didn't work. Because Indiana's defense is a little bit better. But what you need moving forward, and this is what I do like, you're going to be better with Nitti playing more than you're not. And the last 2 weeks has forced him.
Fumble it.
Well, you can say that about Legos and interceptions.
I know.
Say that about Diamant's everything. But Devine Redding has fumbled how many times this year? Now you've got your kick returner who's running back.
You ask your quarterback to put the ball into some spots. So you ask him to take some chances. You don't ask the freshman running back to take chances putting the ball in the pocket.
Exactly right.
Now, it'll happen to your running back. It'll always happen.
And senior Devine Redding's fumbled two or three times, and Wilson talked about him not going to play if you're going to fumble.
Right.
But I think when you have those options offensively, the defense isn't sure which way you're going to angle at them or which way you're going to get at them. That makes Indiana harder to guard. And when they're harder to guard, that takes the heat off of Lego. It takes the heat off of everybody else playing. And hopefully it adds to some yards and some points. And it takes the heat off the defense at some point.
And we got to talk a little bit before we hit this break about the special teams. Griffin Oaks, All Big Ten kicker. He has had a more difficult year this year. But this day in special teams was just a collective disaster.
It was special for everybody involved.
It comes down to a unit. In the kicking unit, that field goal extra point unit really, really having a bad day and having a hard time. I'm not going to pin it all on the holder because a kicker's got to kick it also.
Yep.
The snaps all look fine to me, but again, it's a unit that group has to get it figured out. With the kickoff, you know, I think coaching-wise, I think they made a good point, and that was, you know, the ball is being short because of the wind. Bring your guy up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, that guy's got to catch that or he's not out there for that reason. That hasn't happened on a regular basis.
No. Again, the kicking game has.
There have been some struggles with the kicking game. So there's your question mark. Is that a sign of things to come? Because once you're in a kicker's in his own mind, you don't know when he's coming out of it.
Well,
the good news is he's been really, really good in the past.
That is it. And I don't know if Wilson tried to give him the old mule kick in the ear, putting Del Grosso out there for the first extra point. Then you hear Del Grosso hurt his hamstring on the first kickoff. But if you watch the entire film like I just did before I came in, he's jumping up and down the sideline when they're scoring.
And
there's no ice on his leg, and he's not sitting up. So they tried. They've tried just about everything. They've tried to get him fired up.
You know me. And I was a kicker.
They tried to get
him
moving.
I'm a weird dude. Kickers are weird dudes.
They are.
It's just it is.
But that's the point. Gideon,
you don't know what's going on.
Gideon, if he's a bad holder, was, according to Wilson, picked by Griffin Oaks
he was.
To be the holder. That is, he has not been assigned.
Sometime in the middle of the season.
It was Mitchell Page.
Yeah,
Mitchell Page dropped one against Ball State or whoever that was, Michigan State?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever. There have been issues.
Yeah.
And there have been issues blocking. There's been issues with timing. There's been issues with everything else. What we do know is that they left. I'm not going to count the 53-yarder or 54-yarder. They left a 30-something yarder, a 20-yarder, and two extra points.
Yeah.
So that's eight. Yeah. They left about 11 in the Maryland game out there by not taking short field goals, and you say, "Well, that's why they didn't take them." Well, when you're not making football plays, that's my point.
Right.
My point is always about football plays. Kickers should make, if you kick 40 extra points in a season, you should make 39 of them
minimum.
That's pretty much it.
That's what
because it's
for.
From 20 yards,
that's
not
correct.
33 in
it
the NFL.
It should never be blocked from that distance.
It shouldn't ever. Because the snap's there, it's down, you kick it.
It's got to be.
Don't hesitate.
No
don't
question.
Wait. So a 20-yard field goal is an extra point.
Yes.
So don't miss 20-yard field
miss
goals
that,
either. So when you have that in the back of your mind, now it's do we go for it on fourth and two when we can kick a 38-yard field goal? And then you start thinking, well, is Big Bacon going to fumble on that play?
Yeah,
is
Zander
going to try to get an extra yard?
That is a unit problem
that is pushing
that may
into the
only
offense.
Affect you 5 to 10 plays a game, but it's causing you points.
Yes.
It's costing you points right now, and that's the question from a team because the next couple games, you can't afford to be leaving any points out there.
Nope, and you couldn't afford to leave them out there against Maryland and Rutgers, you did, and it didn't cost you, but that's not to mean it's okay.
Right.
How do you fix it? That's the question. The guy gets paid $2 million and change. That's his job to get it fixed. Does he need a new kicker? I don't know. Does he need a new holder? I don't know. But what you can't do, just like when his offense was bad, Dave, he changed it.
Yeah.
He found a way to be productive. He found a way. Now, 1,200 yards in two games, and how many points? 40 whatever against Maryland and another 33, 80 points and in 1,200 yards. That's different than what they were doing before, regardless of opponent.
Well, we will see what that change is because you don't want that unit to stink.
God, if that keeps you from a bowl game because you can't kick extra points.
Yeah, I mean, that and punt and kick return. I mean, you can't catch a return ball, then that's the other big, huge problem. That's one of them.
Mitchell Page can't be everywhere, can he?
Yeah, that's only one of those, so you don't look at that as a big issue just yet. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. A couple programming notes for you. We've got Monday Night Football coming up here in a little while. We're with you until 7:45, but pregame for Monday Night Football takes over. Buffalo at Seattle kicks off just around 8:30. Tomorrow night, a lot going on here at WGCL. 6 o'clock live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. It is Joe Smith Sports Talk. He will have Ray Luz, the IU swimming coach. The College Challenge is coming up this weekend in Indianapolis. The Big Ten versus Team USA.
Very nice.
He will also have IU women's basketball coach Terry Morin.
Ranked for the first time in the preseason in the history of that program. Big exhibition winners over UIndy yesterday, so they'll get their season started. They only play one exhibition to do the women, so they'll be getting rolling this weekend. I think they got a doubleheader, Dave. I can't remember. I think it's Vandy on Sunday, and I can't remember who the first victim is on Friday, so they're getting right to it. We'll hear all about it tomorrow night live from Yogi's. And don't forget, tomorrow after Sports Talk with Joe Smith, Keith Klein, Jim Inman will have our live election night coverage for you. Danny Shields and Don Moore will also be in the studio taking calls from people around the state from all three parties, updating what is happening on Decision 2016. There is no end time scheduled for this show, so we'll see how long
the reins, huh?
they can handle it. You can follow along on Facebook at WGCL Radio and at WGCL Radio on Twitter. And Jim Inman and Keith Klein will have all of that for you. Again, tomorrow night, don't have to turn the dial. Right after Joe Smith Sports Talk, the Decision 2016 right here on WGCL. So a very, very busy Tuesday. We'll have Abdul Hakim Shabazz. He will join us tomorrow morning at 8:05 to get us kicked off, raring to go, and he'll be on the coverage tomorrow night as well. So we'll have you covered. Not at 6 a.m. We'll start at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, but we'll go until we know something at nighttime. And
we might not either.
Well, Keith doesn't have to be in on Wednesday morning, so he'll be okay.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. So IU wins 33-27. They get their fifth victory of the year. Much like some of the season, it has not always been pretty. It was not always pretty over the weekend, but it is the W that they needed. Three more games to get one more victory to be bowl eligible. Penn State comes to town. We'll preview that on Wednesday. That is a noon game on ABC. It has been announced, so we get that one done early. Penn State playing very well recently, of course, given Ohio State Their one loss of the year on a blocked punt returned for a touchdown. So James Franklin getting that program headed back the direction they all think they ought to be. Next two games are very tough for the Hoosiers. But, you know, look, Penn State, to me, and I think to most people, right now is not at the class of an Ohio State or Michigan. They're not back to that level yet. I realize they beat Ohio State, but they were not particularly productive in that entire game. You know, they weren't running up and down the field like some old Penn State teams maybe were.
No, they stuck around and hung in it.
They have a very good running
game. Sound familiar?
They have a quarterback who can run the ball. He's also young, so I mean, he's a guy that you might be able to fool
a
little bit. So, hasn't you know. What can you do against that team? Again, the defense is going to have to stand up. We've seen that. That's what's carrying them through, which, again, at the beginning of the season, you would have been thought you were crazy to say it. But the offense has been just, you know, up and down enough. Can it get some consistency? Because it's going to need that consistency and stop turning the ball over to get a victory out of these last three games.
Yep, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because if Indiana can keep the reins on Saquon Barkley for a little bit and force their quarterback. I think he's 6 foot 175 when
he's
I looked it up
guy.
Last
yeah.
when I looked it up last on Saturday night. That's interesting because Indiana really hasn't had anybody run completely over them in any way, shape, or form in Bloomington for sure. And again, it's an exciting time for the Hoosiers. Two out of three at home, one to get you to a bowl game again. That's something you probably don't want to save for the Purdue game. You want to win every game, Dave, and three wins already in the Eastern Division of the Big Ten Conference. I think that's better than a lot of people had them written down for when the season started. And, again, time to get it going. And the challenge that Indiana's faced with the better-ranked teams, that hasn't been the issue this season.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the deal. And this will be their third noon game, so that's out the window. You saw it against Rutgers. The
Neither
slow
start
was great,
so hopefully they do have it out
the again,
window.
It's at least it's going to be 52 degrees and sunshine. That is the forecast as of this moment. So an optimum day could be a little warmer than that. It's football weather in the middle of November. Come
yep.
on, you can enjoy that as well. Noon, ABC on Saturday, Penn State and the Hoosiers preview coming up on Wednesday night.
We do have to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. When we get back, we'll go to the hardwood. IU basketball with a pair of exhibitions under their belt. We'll talk about those when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. IU basketball season, not officially underway, but unofficially underway. A pair of exhibitions in the books. Victors in both Hope College, 98-65, and Bellarmine University, 73-49. Distinctly different games, the way they played out, a little all over the place to some degree. With the scoring, the thing that stands out for you for this team right away, it could be different for a lot of different people. For me, you know, it's not that I didn't buy that OG Anunoby was a good player and could be a really good player, but he's walked right in the door and started scoring points like it's going out of style, including shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
And it's not the most natural-looking shot in the world, so you wonder if that isn't going to be streaky, but right now it's a good streak.
And again, taking OG Anunoby, Josh Newkirk, Deron Davis, Curtis Jones, all these new fellas who maybe didn't get a lot of time or are brand new to the program, they should be handling teams like Hope College and Bellarmine. That's what should be happening. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't look at Indiana and say, how did they only lose to them win by 11 points last? Well, I don't know, because that drove me crazy last year.
Right.
Indiana was struggling to find their feet. I think the two things you take from this Indiana team, at least early in the proceedings, and they're going to get a big step up in class on Friday, is they look to be the part athletically. They look to be the part physically, and that's what you expect from a team ranked in the top 15 in the country. This is not some kind of, hey, you were kind of good last year, so we'll throw this on you. They obviously have the pieces to do it, And they have some players that will be tested in other ways that they weren't tested last year. Dave Ogiananobi didn't play 25 minutes in more than one game last year. Nope. I mean, to extrapolate from Hope College and Bellarmine that he's going to play 32 minutes against Kansas and get 28 points and make 6 threes, if he does, I'll be the first guy to say, well, that was a hell of a performance. My goodness, what a player.
That's why they play exhibition games.
Well, that's not fair to OG. OG's not talking about OG. Everybody else is talking about OG, and that's great because you want that buzz around your program. And you're Indiana basketball. You should have players people are talking about at some kind of basis that are really good players, shouldn't you? This shouldn't be a team of almost and doggone it, and we should try harders. It's Indiana basketball. You should have guys that can play to compete for league championships and perhaps national championships on somewhat of an annual basis. Is that asking too much? I don't think it is.
No, I don't
so
think
let's
so.
Not be blown away by it. You've got good size. Deron Davis and Thomas Bryant, OG Anunoby, Juwan Morgan. Besides Thomas Bryant, of those four, you haven't seen large sample sizes.
Right.
That's going to tell you right now that Juwan Morgan is a point guard that's going to handle the ball at Michigan State down 4 minutes to go.
Right.
So relax. Enjoy it. Fan the flames. Every time OG makes a three, go nuts. Every time he dunks it, go nuttier. Get the ball to Thomas Bryant a little bit more, will you, please?
Yeah, that's...
But we've said that.
We've
said that since
year.
The Cody Zeller years.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Said that every
the
year.
Offense happens how it happens, and whoever's a part of it is great. But here's
well, it is not a post a guy up and dump it into him 30 times a game.
Boy, you offense. Should. No one's going to stop.
Well, he should.
Oh,
no,
and especially... Gosh, you want easy points?
Do you want to try that against the two exhibition teams?
Nah, because why do you want to show anybody anything?
Well,
you want to get guys in game flow. You want to get guys in game situations. You want to get guys where we're not blowing the whistle every 30 seconds to reposition you. They want to see
right.
how they act
right.
in the speed, in this with real officials, and not to say the guys that referees at practice aren't real, but this is if you get three fouls, you get three
it's
fouls. That's tangible.
Yeah,
that's
right.
what's going to happen to you. So you get guys in this pace. You get the, who can play at this speed, who can do what we want them to do without having to stop and tell them every 25 seconds.
Exactly.
That's what you get from exhibition games, and that's what's going to help out moving forward. Everybody plays exhibition games. Everybody plays different kinds of teams. Nobody plays the Los Angeles Lakers B team.
Mm-hmm.
You play somebody that's close. You play somebody that you know you're going to beat. So you can do multiple things and try multiple things. Can't do that against Kansas and Honolulu on a Friday night.
No.
Can't do it if you're going to win that game.
You've got to have a little bit of a clue going into that game.
If you want to win, you got to have an idea of what's happening there. So, yeah, these guys have some serious upside on the physical side of things. The basketball upside looks decent. I can't wait to see them against better competition to see
yeah.
how it works itself out.
Look, early last year we saw a defense that was out of position at nearly every position
sure.
frequently. that is one thing I take from the last two games. Not that you can go up and jump and block a shot from a guy from Hope College, but that you're not letting guys blow by you all the time or unguarded guys get into the basket all
or
the time.
Or playing harder than you are.
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
I
you know my rule, play hard.
At minimum, I have seen that.
Play
and
hard.
And should that stand out from last year? No. But it does, and that's the good
play
news,
hard.
I suppose, coming out of it.
If you've got competition for places, and you've got...
You've
got
to compete. There's some good competitions, some good team
Get
players.
Out there and play hard.
Good athletes, as you said.
Start there.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665. We'll be back in just a few minutes for In the Red Zone. We'll talk a little more IU basketball before we move on to the Colts. You're in the zone. All right, you're back in the Red Zone with Dave and Glass here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Phone number is 812-333-2665. Taking you to Monday Night Football. Pregame starts at 7:45, so we're with you until then. Buffalo is at Seattle tonight on Monday Night Football. Kicks off around 8:30. So stick with us for a little while, and then we'll turn you over there. In the meantime, we'll get back to some IU basketball. Again, they win a pair of exhibitions over the week against Hope College and Bellarmine. Certainly different games in both. You know, what you've got now, what do you see against these teams? I realize you don't want to put too much stock in a pair of exhibition games. As you said, Glass, is it more athletic? Is it more deep? Let's keep in mind it does have some young players, some guys who haven't been here before. You're going to have to deal with that eventually. And most importantly is still going to be from the get-go, who is your leader? This team had a senior leader that is the all-time assists leader at Indiana University. He's one of your top scorers of all times also. you're going to have to deal with that void sooner rather than later. And to me, that's still going to be one of the biggest question marks. Is it's not that he has to have the ball at the end, although that's a big question, but it's everything else too. I mean, because if you ask the guy to defend somebody, he'd go defend somebody. If you ask the guy to get the ball to everybody out on the floor, he would. If he had to hit some big shots, he would.
He was your best post defender
at one point. Yeah, the guy did everything.
He was. And they're never easy to replace, but they've had plenty of time to do it. It wasn't a situation where it was like, oh, geez, he went pro. What are we going to do now? They knew for the last 2 years. Yeah. This was on the way. This is, I would guess, the reason why he recruited Robert Johnson and brought Josh Newkirk in to add stability. And if you can't do it in one person, you can do it in multiple people. What you look around at Indiana and you see in the backcourt is you've got three guys that can play it, have played college minutes, proven college minutes in Newkirk, Johnson, and Blackman. That looks to be settled. That is your most settled position for me, period, end of sentence, besides Thomas Bryan at center, who played just about every game last year.
Are any of those guys the guy you say he's going to make the plays for you?
No, somebody can grow into that role. Because that can happen, because Yogi at one point wasn't in that role either and grew into that role. Yogi had 3 years of playing with three very different styles before last year came around. Yep. He had nothing to do except feed the beasts in his freshman year.
Right.
His second year, he fought with some folks on time and ball and who's in charge and who was going to lead and who wasn't going to lead. That didn't work out very well.
Right.
It got a little bit better the junior year. And then you dealt with some injury problems and whatnot. Not for him, but there's always something. And there's always something with this team. There's always something with everybody's team. You know, Colin Hartman, that'd be a guy that you would think, hey, he's been here the longest. He has seen all of the stuff that we've just told you about, should have an idea of how to get through it. But if he can't contribute on the court, you're going to have other guys step up. This is not fantasy football. Because a guy is rated at some place by somebody doesn't mean he is going to perform. Kids have bad nights. Kids have good nights. I'll point out James Blackman was over for whatever.
Seven.
Against Bellarmine. Great. You know what? That's going to happen. There's a few games Yogi was 3-for-16.
Yeah.
It happens. You have to have depth. You have to have other guys that contribute. What the next step for this team is going to be is what is their identity? They have so much stuff going on. Sure, they love to shoot 35 threes a game. Sure, they love to defend. Sure, they love to rebound. Sure, they love to run and get out on the break. That's great. If you can do all that consistently against top teams in the country, you'll be one of those programs where that happens. When you look across the board here, if you're going to have a 5-guy or 6-guy rotation, which Tom Crean never does for the most part, who's going to be that next step up in the game? Who's going to come in? Because Yogi played 38 minutes a night, period, end of sentence. You didn't have to worry about moving that position. You didn't have to worry about allocating minutes at that position.
Right.
You didn't have to worry about anything. And you shouldn't with the senior point guard. And that's why that team was very good last year, because you had one first name on the team sheet carved in stone.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to worry about it. He never got hurt. He never was tired. He never needed out of the game. That's probably not going to be the same this year. James Blackman Jr. has had a history of injury problems. Robert Johnson's had a history of injury problems.
Josh Newkirk has an injury problem.
Juwan Morgan's shoulder pops out occasionally. Mm-hmm. So you've got
Freddie
that
McSwain
question.
Just had knee surgery.
Deron Davis is too new to plug in and say you're going to do this or that. And Colin Hartman's hurt.
Yeah.
So, and he's been hurt. He's been hurt with thumbs and shins and backs and knees and
he's had everything.
So you'd love to be at a full capacity. But what I think Indiana's going to give people trouble with is if they share the basketball and don't give it to the other team, they'll be very difficult to beat because they have enough guys that can kind of shoot it. They have enough guys that can kind of rebound it. They have enough guys that can kind of defend it. And they have enough kind of athletes to get in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah.
You don't look at the team, it passes the eye test. You don't look at Indiana and say, well, geez, if they find out this guy can't do this or do that, that's going to be the one thing. But what it's going to come down to is, hey, we're in a tight spot. Is it James Blackman Jr. that's going to shoot us out of this? Is it OG that's going to shoot us out of this? Is it Juwan Morgan that's going to start shooting threes again? I don't know. And that has to grow and develop a little bit organically. In that situation, that's kind of the king of the jungle phase there. The guy that makes it should have the ball. It shouldn't be we need to get it to OG because we think his draft stock is going to be good at the end of the year.
Look,
that's not how you play basketball.
It's a pair of exhibition games. I don't get too crazy on these games. But you point at the one guy who is the natural to theoretically handle one part of what Yogi was able to do, and that is to distribute the ball, and that's Josh Newkirk. Now, on the defensive end, he looks like he could be very solid there, even very, very good there.
Sure.
But on the other side, distributing the ball, he had 7 assists in the first exhibition. I believe he had 4 yesterday, so certainly he looks like he can get it around. Shooting. Not even close. So how much of a liability is that if you're a distributor first anyways and a defensive guy?
I think Indiana's got enough potential weapons where he doesn't need to score. You don't need to have five guys scoring at all times. Would it be nice? Sure, it absolutely would be. That's not to say Josh Newkirk can't. Josh Newkirk will be valuable if he can knock down the open shot, right, not having to force to create his own.
They say he's been working on it. I don't think he's hit one yet.
Who hasn't worked on their shot? If you're not working on your shot at IU, go home.
Right, exactly. No, he's 0-for-4 on threes.
Every tweet before every game starts is, oh, geez, there are 62 hours before the game shooting. He should be. That's what to get better if you want to get better. But Indiana's issue is, if James Blackman's having an off night shooting, how are you going to get points?
Mm-hmm.
Do you focus on banging it in to Bryant in the post? Do you focus on getting OG and matchup problems? Do you focus? What do you do? That's going to be the wonderful thing to see. But I just mentioned three legitimate options you have. Indiana is not cramped for options. You don't look at that team and say, now, with Jeff Howard and Burton on the floor, what is this team going to do? You're playing 3-on-5. No, that's not the case anymore. So if Curtis Jones can knock down a shot, Devontae Green had 17 the first exhibition. Give me his numbers from the second game.
Devontae Green, 11 minutes, 0-for-2. Both of them threes. That was really loud.
That's the brakes pumping right there.
Zero rebounds.
There you go.
Two personal fouls, two turnovers, one assist, one steal.
The kids. So let them get used to college. Let them get used to it. Traveling to Hawaii, playing one game against Kansas is not going to determine how your season is going to go.
Right.
The last time they were in Hawaii, they played three really poor basketball games, that's a fact. They lost two of them and barely beat a St. John's team. I think they had four other wins the rest of the season.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
So that's not something to get worn out about. Should you be excited about Indiana basketball? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game, at the very least.
Teams should be fun to watch because they're athletic.
Yeah.
They're not slow. They can all jump. They can all run. They're long. They can play deep.
And people around here might all want to run different systems, but you know what? They're running the same system most of these other teams are running.
Yep.
So they look like they can be competitive at the very least with those.
Exactly.
And
if you don't see Dante
Friday night, I mean, we can preview the game Friday night more on Wednesday.
On Wednesday,
but
absolutely.
There's no reason they can't beat for Kansas.
If Devontae Green disappears for 3 weeks, yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Thomas Bryant did.
Yeah, exactly right. And Thomas Bryant, you talk about James Blackman not guarding a chair. Thomas Bryant couldn't guard anything last year.
He didn't understand
the
speed of the game. He didn't understand the angles. He didn't understand what fouling and not fouling
was.
No
idea how to handle a pick and roll.
Great. Josh Newkirk, that's what helps because he's played at ACC level before.
Yeah.
That's completely different. And you can talk about the AAU programs all these kids play at. They should play at good AAU programs if they're coming to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That goes without saying.
None of them get taught a lot of defense.
They should
AAU
be exactly right. And that's the last thing you learn is to play team defense. You know, if you have a man in front of you, you've got a pretty decent idea. If you can kind of remember one thing from the scouting report, you should be okay. It's what do you do when your man's standing at the farthest point away from the basket? That's where you have to learn a little bit better. But I think it comes down to a simple formula. The guys are going to play hard. Crean is rewarded over time.
Yeah.
He plays guys to get after it
and
play hard.
The
OG and Anunoby did not get on the floor last year because they thought he could knock down a bunch of threes.
Right.
He made 13 three-pointers last year. If you talk to a lot of people, you think he made 113.
And he didn't play a lot early in the season
he
at
did
all.
Not because he was, again, trying to find a way to get on the court, find the speed, find the angles. And OG got beat.
It was rebounds, it was defense, it was deflections, it was
OG's
steals.
OG's athletic ability made up for a lot of it, and that's what sends you up the draft charts. It's the potential you have, maybe not what you're doing right now.
Before,
but 13 minutes a game, though, Curtis Jones can give you 24 a night.
Before we leave OG too far behind.
Yeah, OG's going to be a nice player.
Before because we got to move on to the Colts here, too. 7 of 11 three-pointers. They talk a lot about what he's been working on. Clearly, this opens up another option if he can hit them. But you and I have joked a little bit. I mean, that is not a natural form of a jump shot.
You got to shoot through it.
I mean, can that be consistent all year long?
No. Guys can either shoot or they can't shoot. You look at James Blackman, he goes 0-for-7, you wonder how.
Right. Well, he's going to shoot 7 more the next game, and we'll see what happens.
And he might make all 7 of them. And then the game after that, he might make 4-for-6. And the game after that, he might make 5-for-8.
He does have some extremes.
46%. That's what he was when he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
The point of the matter is, if you don't shoot the open three, you become easier to guard.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that a little bit with Troy Williams. It took Troy Williams about 3 years before he could shoot a three-pointer, and that opened up his game and opened up the floor. Does OG Anunoby need to shoot three-pointers to make Indiana successful? I don't think so. I don't think he has to
with his other skills.
I think there's
he might be falling in love with it too much right now.
Or he's been told to use it. When you practice something, you want to use it in the game
to
see how it works. But I don't think OG Anunoby's three-point shooting is going to make or break the season. If it is, Indiana's way one-dimensional, and they're going to struggle.
Well, but
that's the point.
A guy that athletic who could be that good on the boards, if he can hit that shot also –
yeah.
That's a huge weapon.
Well, that's what everybody's – that's the hope. The hope is, hey, he made 13-39 last year. What is that, 33%?
Yep.
What's average?
Yeah.
Now, does that mean he's going to take 47% this year? Is there some kind of math formula I don't know about that?
No.
When you go from a freshman to a sophomore, you jump up and hit some kind of level?
Well, I hope so.
No, I hope he improves. I hope he improves his minutes. Mm-hmm. I hope he improves defensively. Yep. I hope he doesn't get in a lot of foul trouble because he's hyper-athletic. He gets in the way a lot because he's long and can get to spots.
His good body control.
We hope so, because he doesn't help Indiana sitting on the bench with foul problems or with bad decision-making. That's the other thing, too. So the King of the Jungle will play itself out. We'll see who gets the ball, the lion's share of the ball. But I'm from the school of thought. I told you before, the first game, move it and don't turn it over. Right. Assists. If there's a lot of assists, Indiana will be very difficult to beat. Yeah. If there's a lot of bounce, 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 jump shot, Indiana's pretty easy to guard.
Well, you saw plenty of guys that can score in a lot of different ways in the first two games, at the very least. So there are other options. Make sure you
hope,
make that.
Hope
last,
College's
that next
biggest
pass.
Player was 6'6".
I know.
But I'm just. I got to remind people.
Point
of that.
Is, make the next pass. The next guy that can is. Get something done for
that
you.
That is.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665.
Get excited
the phone
on a Friday night about 11:15.
Exactly. When we get back, we'll talk about the Colts' big victory up in Lambeau. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Red Zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Reminder, we're leading you into Monday Night Football. We're with you till 7:45. Our pregame takes over. The game tonight, Buffalo at Seattle. Tomorrow night, a lot going on. Joe Smith Sports Talk live from the corner of 10th and Indiana at Yogi's. It'll be 6 o'clock. You'll have Ray Luz, the IU swimming coach. The College Challenge is this weekend up in Indianapolis. Big Ten versus Team USA. I'll also have IU women's basketball with Terry Morin. And then we take over with election night coverage, and it'll be on all night long. Find out who wins what here in Monroe County. And then we've got a big football weekend as normal. We'll tell you all about it on Wednesday. But, of course, the focus is always here on high school sports here on WGCL, and that's Friday night. South has to go down to Castle once again. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff at 7:30. And a lot going on. Colts are not going on. They get to their bye week, and they do it in at least somewhat surprising style on the road at Green Bay. Victors 31-26. And, you know, outside of a pair of Andrew Luck interceptions early in the game, and both in the first quarter, one a bad throw. You could say it's a bad decision, but definitely a bad throw. The other definitely a bad decision. After that, really, it wasn't stellar offense. But it was good offense. It was Andrew Luck offense. It was Andrew Luck outside of those two throws, as good as maybe we've seen him all year, maybe better than some of last year even. We've talked about this. This team doesn't look like it's any damn good. So for them to go up to Lambeau at this point, I know this isn't an 8-1 Green Bay team.
No, it's not.
But they played about as well as they've played all year long.
And as we talked about last Wednesday, teams do funny things going into their bye week. There's a little bit more of a cherry there, knowing they get a couple extra days off. They're up 31-13 at Lambeau. No one's been up that much at Lambeau in 10 years.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Well, it means the Colts are doing something better. Now, they haven't done anything better in consecutive weeks. I don't think we can go back and look. I've got the schedule in my hands here.
No.
Loss, loss, win, loss, win,
yeah,
bad loss, win, loss, win.
Yeah.
So, should you beat the Chiefs at home? Probably not. Should you beat the Texans on the road? Yeah, that's what I take away from this game. They learned something. Now, I know Brock Osweiler isn't Aaron Rodgers, but they stopped. Aaron Rodgers, but not Brock Osweiler. No, their offense.
They stopped Brock Osweiler for 3.5 quarters.
They did until he killed you in the last two in an overtime. Well, Aaron Rodgers came back, ran the ball down their throat. But guess what happened in the end? It was the Colts offense that started making plays.
Mm-hmm.
How about Luck getting hit by Ha Ha Clinton Dix, throwing the ball to Jack Doyle on third and whatever it was. First down, huge play. Then T.Y. to ice the game. Yep. Again, the play calling was a little bit better because it wasn't run the ball in the line three times and punt and let it run down your throat. They tried that, and boom, minute 54, boom, 204, two touchdowns just like that.
Six different offensive line combination, they said, to start the game.
Mike McCarthy has no idea about two-point conversions either, but we'll let him go today.
Whatever.
But you got a nice balance. You had good feel. You had good stuff. And the defense played well. And Green Bay couldn't run the football very well, so it made the Colts a little bit easier for them to guard. But Gore gets you 60 yards and two touchdowns, his first multi-touchdown game since 2014 rushing. I mean, that's good. I've been killing Gore. He performed. Great job. Yeah. Excellent. The line, you can't name three guys on the line if you've never watched the Colts before. No. You have any idea who they are. They're giving Luck just enough time.
Yeah.
And, again, two picks where their defense came up with plays where Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, got any points out of either one of those picks.
This might have been the best protection game of the year.
Close,
For the Colts offensive line. And doing it with Jonathan Harrison at left guard.
That's the truth.
Again, six times you've had to do this differently. It's just insane.
It is. And to see them perform, and that's why in the NFL you only can win one a week and lose one a week. It sounds ridiculous, but not many people thought the Colts would win in Green Bay. But they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their jobs. And you know what? Green Bay's got to play too. And Green Bay had came off a bad, tough loss at Atlanta, a game they thought maybe they should have won at a time. You got to go out there and do it, and that's the beauty of the soap opera of the NFL, because there is no – unless you're playing the Browns, there's really not a team you look at and say, hey, maybe the Niners, 49ers stink as well. But the other 30 teams – how many teams are 4-4 in the league right now? Half of them?
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, that's the point.
What I like best about this offense right this minute is the production they put up despite the offensive line issues, and on top of that, starting to get apparently healthy at those skill positions, because Hilton's been banged up, Moncrief was out, Dorsett was out, Allen was out. You've been relying on some guys that are maybe unsung. Jack Doyle can be productive and will be productive going forward, but you had six guys with more than two catches. We talked about this in the last couple of years, how much they shared the ball and how much that opened things up because of that. Nine people caught balls in total. The more people you involve, the more weapons
just
you
like
show
IU.
The defense that you
Amen.
Have available to them, the more you have to guard and the more you have to open up.
I saved the stat for you because you're always talking about the offensive line play. Versus pressure on Sunday, 3 of 13, 37 yards, a pick and two sacks.
Yeah.
That's Pro Football Focus. Luck versus no pressure, 20 of 24, 224, 122.9 rating.
Now, when they say pressure, is that a blitz or that just means they got
somebody in your feet? I don't know, but it's one of those deals. And I know one of those completions was to Jack Doyle on third and six for a huge first down, which kept Green Bay's offense off the field.
Absolutely.
So it's not the come from behind victory that Luck is known for. He's done it 17 times. But when the money's on the table, it wasn't Frank Gore ripping off 12-yard rushes to get through that. It was Luck, people in his kitchen, on his feet. And he's Clinton Dix is hanging on for dear life, and he's making plays at the end of the game.
And by the way, we've said this over and over. When Luck is under some pressure and makes a pressured throw for him, he usually high. Well, Jack Doyle's on his knees falling down to make that catch.
It was made the catch.
Pretty
was
perfect
great.
Spot, and it wasn't high that Jack Doyle made something amazing on, and that superhuman necessarily. But no, and then the T.Y. Hilton one also. That's the game. The other one that kills it.
But
off.
What do we always talk about with the Colts that we think when they're successful, they have to do what? Get ahead and let their defense make plays. 24 points, most points, first half Colts, 10-9-14 when they racked up 27 against Houston on whatever that Thursday or Monday night game was. 24 points in the first half is the first in two full years. Now, granted, Andrew Luck missed a significant part of that time, but the Colts, when they start fast and don't have to play from behind and hope everything is perfect, boy, it's a little bit different. Playbook opens up.
Yep.
Defense can get after you a little bit. The Colts defense made some plays. Vontae Davis in and out of the game.
Patrick Robinson
making some plays.
Gathers and Green all over the place.
The kids are still the kids, but they were there. DeQuell Jackson had Rodgers in the backfield for a 15-yard loss. He just couldn't get him down.
I didn't notice. Is Robert Mathis active for this game?
He was. He played.
He was nowhere.
He was
joking. I watched him.
Getting out wide, trying to do his moves, that's what it is. But again, with Trent Cole out, with nobody to pick up this time of year, what are you going to do?
Again, Eric Walden's been your best pass rusher.
He has.
Unless he blitz.
And who was the guy who had the first sack of the game that nobody could name if you brought him up again? LeRon Edwards?
LeVar Edwards. Oh. Yeah, he was picked up 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
Why
you know
not?
What? He comes in and makes a play.
There you go. Yeah.
A Jordan Todman kickoff, 99-yard
return.
Claimed
off of waivers from Carolina on the 19th of October.
Super. That's good because Bates just got picked up by the Patriots when we drafted him.
Yeah.
But Todman opens the game with a kickoff return. How many times we sit here and talk about special plays being terrible if they're not named Vinatieri or McAfee?
Their kick units are so good. And so we've been dying for somebody to be able to return for this
team. Quan Bray's been hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his job.
They've
won
it. Shuffling through everybody because Philip Dorsett can't catch a punt regularly.
Josh Ferguson tried.
But what a start. I mean, heck, that's a jolt for the entire side.
And then he had another 45-yarder just after that when they scored again.
Yeah.
So that's something new. Short fields.
Yeah.
less pressure. Luck comes out 7-0. He's got a little bit more breathing room to get with. When the Colts play well, as they've shown you they can, the Colts' problem is consistency, doing it over and over again. The Colts' line, you don't worry about when you win, but it wasn't any better.
It was better, but it wasn't any better. But you know what? Yeah. That wasn't a better pass rush than they faced the last couple of weeks either. I mean,
Clay Matthews is out.
Yeah, that's a step down in the athletes up front than a couple of the last couple,
you know what?
Few teams you've played.
4-5, tied with Tennessee. That's your next opponent.
Yeah, all you got to do is get the division.
At home, Houston's on a bye week, I believe, right? 5-3.
Yes.
So they're a game and a half back, but they get Houston at home, mm-hmm. Jacksonville at home, Tennessee at home.
Correct.
Moving forward, Big Ben and the Steelers are coming into town after that on Thanksgiving, so they get back-to-back home games off a bye week,
mm-hmm.
off a big Packers win.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the time you rev the engine and hopefully take the momentum that you've created. Let's be fair here. The Colts created this momentum themselves.
Yes, they did.
Now, do something you haven't done all year, which is win two games in a row.
Home to Tennessee, home Thanksgiving night to Pittsburgh, at New York Jets.
That should
home
be.
Home to Houston.
Jets are terrible.
At suddenly falling apart Minnesota.
See, got to play them all.
At Oakland, looks very good.
The soap opera
and then
continues.
And in Jacksonville.
The soap opera continues.
Suddenly, yeah. I mean, that's not as daunting as maybe it was at the beginning of the year.
No, and 2 weeks ago you would have said the Colts, no one would be watching by then. It's funny how that works in the NFL. Yeah. Just win the game in front of you. That's why coaches always talk about that 1 week. Take care of that, and it's amazing how much better it feels than it does 3-6.
The game ahead of you is bye, B-Y-E.
Yep. Healthy.
They need that. They need to get that offensive line healthy. That would be great. We've got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the Red Zone. Back in the Red Zone here with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, your programming notes. We're with you for another segment here, and then 7:45 pregame for Monday Night Football takes over. The game is Buffalo at Seattle, and it'll kick off around 8:30. Tomorrow night's a big night here on WGCL. We start with Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana at 6 o'clock. He'll have Ray Lewis, the IU swimming coach. The College Challenge is this weekend up in Indianapolis, Big Ten versus Team USA. We'll also have IU women's basketball coach Terry Morin doing a great job with the women's program over there. And Friday night we continue on as South football continues on with our high school football as they go down to Castle for the regional championship, a rematch of the same game down there last year. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff 7:30 for that. A lot more football over the weekend. We'll tell you more about that on Wednesday night when we will be back. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So the Colts, with their bye week, we went through their schedule going forward. So, you know, they're going to need, to some degree, Houston to come back to them. It's not that far away. It's a game and a half, as you mentioned. They get to make up that one game back at home if they can do it, and certainly have some favorable home games. And even the road game at the Jets will help them out. And at this point in time, you know, you kind of have to – I don't want to write it all off because there aren't that many great teams or great records right this minute, but you can't focus on the wild card right now. You got to focus on the division.
No, it's 100% simple. Just win the next game. That's what they did. They can't win more than one game in a weekend. And winning two in a row is a step. That's a step they haven't taken this year. That's a step in a positive direction. And what's it going to take to do that? You hope guys get healthy. You hope that Muhort's tricep feels better. You need mm-hmm. him on your line. Be nice to have all your skill players up and running as well, so you get that two-week break to get healthy and you stay at home for 2 weeks. So essentially you're going to wrap up the rest of November.
There's no excuses for this
team.
Should
be on a good foot.
You know, in the next 3 weeks, there isn't. You got to buy, and you got the two home games against teams you can beat.
Pittsburgh's difficult. Ben Roethlisberger was back this week, knocking the rust off. That's, again, been nice if he'd been out for 6 weeks, but that's not how the NFL works. Sometimes you got to beat people.
They've still lost three in a row. So
got to beat teams.
Playing great.
Yeah, you do, but you got to beat people.
Yeah,
and that's what the Colts have to do. You can't lose your way into a lot of things in the NFL. It's good. One in a row, great. Only thing that makes it better is two in a row. Then you knock out the division card at the same time, which is great. And, again, the schedule doesn't look terrible coming down the stretch, and that's positive.
Two of your losses were Kansas City and Denver. They are combined 12-5. You do have to face Oakland upcoming, who's 7-2, and the surprise of the league to some degree.
Yes.
Some people kind of picked them to have a nice year. I don't know if they picked them to win the West necessarily.
And they haven't yet.
Because
Minnesota started off of House of Fire, and they've lost three in a row. Minnesota started undefeated last year, 5-0, didn't make the playoffs. Didn't know they made the playoffs. Didn't they barely lose to see missed a Blair Walsh field goal.
Missed a field goal,
They can't make any field goals right now. You're halfway. There's so much more to go. If you want to write in anything in permanent marker B, my guess, just don't write it on my stuff.
And the AFC North is just as bad as the AFC South right now.
How many teams are 4-4? Count them up.
Well, yeah.
12?
Just in the AFC, you got 2-4. You got four teams that are 4-4 in the AFC. You got three teams that are 4-5.
Sure.
I mean, they're all in that neighborhood. 3-4-1 is Cincinnati.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what makes it fun, because Dallas is an amazing story with the rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are 7-1.
Kids playing great.
They are. Carolina's not very good right now. Seattle hasn't been playing great football. They'll get a test tonight from Buffalo. They should handle that game. So when you break it all out, there are the Giants just hanging around beating Philadelphia. Remember when Philadelphia was going to win the Super Bowl 3 weeks ago and Carson Wentz was this, that? Yeah, just, you got a lot of play. And the key for the Colts for me is, it's pretty simple. In a quarterback-driven league, if you have a really good quarterback, you got a chance, and that's what the Colts have. Number 12 is really good. He makes some bad throws, doesn't everybody.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's the guy you want with the ball, and you've got some really good skilled players around him. If he's not dead, he's playing all right.
Well, nobody's ever gone a season without throwing an interception, so it does happen.
When you do it.
Keep him healthy, keep him upright to some degree, and like you said, you've got a chance. And coming off their best performance of the year, that's a nice time to take a bye and try to get more healthy, because they're not healthy yet either. That defense is all banged up.
I don't know of many playoff teams or division winners that haven't won multiple games in a row.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to kick into gear, and you got to get it going. But
this is the three-week stretch where they've got, again, a bye week is one of them, but get healthy and then win two at home, and you're putting yourself in a much better spot.
Yep.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll turn you over to pregame for Monday Night Football, Buffalo at Seattle, in just a couple minutes. And we will, of course, be back with you on Wednesday. So tune in then. You've been in the zone.